We're talking about the genetics of shape this week and how things turn from single cells and embryos into whole organisms. And now we're going to hear about how some of the more specialist parts of those organisms form or not under certain circumstances, because Neil Vargesson, who's from the University of Aberdeen, studies the problem of club foot, and he's even made an animal model of the disorder. Hello, Neil.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Tell us about club foot. First of all, what actually is it?
Club foot is a limb defect that causes the failure of the foot to rotate correctly, and so the child is walking on their ankle joint as opposed to the base of the foot as you or I would.
Why does that happen?
The short answer is we don't know, but there's many ways that it's caused: bone malformations or muscle failure or blood vessels. We got interested because in Scotland there's quite a high incidence of it. It's 1 in 500 births have club foot, can occur on one side or both sides. And we've made animal models. We have a mouse model and I've made a chicken embryo model. And basically we found in these particular models that it's due to neuromuscular failure. So if you block the nerve as it guides through the limbs and it fails to reach the muscles don't form, and then the muscles prevent this process called rotation occurring in the embryo, which is a process by which the forming foot rotates around so that it can be walked upon. That doesn't happen, so that they stay where they were as an embryo, which is sort of looking like it was an arm almost, and the result is clubfoot.
And you mentioned that the incidence is quite high in Scotland. Do you know what the genes are then? Because if there's a high incidence, there must be families with it.
It is familial, and there are many genes linked to it, but the ones that cause this are still unknown. And that's what we're doing. That's why we have these different models. We have chicken and mice, and the idea is that we're going to hopefully find those genes that cause those particular clubfoot malformations, and then that will hopefully give us some diagnostic or tools that we can then go and identify potential families at risk.
And if you look in the chickens, do you actually have a gene that you've mutated or changed in order to make the chick or the mouse have the problem, or was this just you got these animals by random selection?
No. The chicken is pharmacologically induced, so we use a drug that blocks neuromuscular migration, and that causes a very severe clubfoot. So it's almost the ankle joint is almost placed on the sort of the femur, if you like, the upper part of the leg. And then from that, we've looked at the muscles and the nerves and other tissues like vessels and tendons and things to understand what's going on and what the process is. And now we're starting to screen some of the targets that we found in the mouse, or the potential targets in the mouse, into the chick to sort of see what they do and how they do it.
Of course, one disorder which is very visibly manifest in people is the disorder caused by the drug thalidomide, which was used in the 1950s and 1960s. Does that give us any clues? Because it produces these profound limb abnormalities in affected people, does that give us any clues as to how this problem can happen naturally?
Clubfoot was seen in thalidomide embryopathy, and yes, ultimately, when we've worked out the genes involved in thalidomide, that should give us some major insights into normal and abnormal limb development. So that's what we're doing. We're using thalidomide in chicken embryos to induce these limb defects and then study molecular as well as physical changes. And then hopefully, if we understand the mechanisms by which thalidomide cause malformation, hopefully we'll be able to understand more about normal development and why things go wrong in other conditions.
But it's also quite a good drug, isn't it, thalidomide? It's still used, but not for what it was used when women were pregnant in the 50s and 60s. It's used for various disorders, leprosy and even myeloma these days.
That's correct. Thalidomide is now used around the world as the treatment for leprosy. It's used in the UK, the US, parts of Australia, and for the treatment of multiple myeloma, where it prolongs life by up to 18 months. It's also in clinical trials for things like Crohn's disease, HIV, and other inflammatory disorders. Very effective in those conditions. Sadly, in some countries, we are still seeing birth defects. I mean, particularly in Brazil, there were some stories just this year about a new generation of thalidomide survivors out there. And this is due to the drug still being teratogenic. And if it's taken at the wrong period of the formation of the embryo, you'll have a birth defect.
But do we know why it's so specific for the arms and legs, and other organs and other parts of the body don't appear to be affected in the same way?
The drug affects many tissues. The limbs, obviously, are the ones that you see the most of, because you see them on the person. But in fact, any organ can be affected by the drug. And in the majority of the survivors, they have a range of limb damage. And of course, you could look at it and say, well, when the drug was taken, it was given to treat morning sickness. I mean, at the time that they were taking it for morning sickness, the limbs were rapidly forming and they're rapidly growing. So limbs were no doubt targeted at that time point. And we've shown that blood vessels were destroyed. And if you lose the blood vessels, you induce cell death and you lose the gene expression pathways. And this results in a range of limb defects. So we can induce that in a chicken. But other tissues can be affected as well. Our group at the moment, we're trying to find out what targets of the drug result in these range of defects. But we're also trying to make forms of the drug that don't cause birth defect, but are still clinically relevant.
Neil, thank you very much. That's Neil Vargason. He is from the University of Aberdeen.
Now, we're joined still in the studio by Richard Adams from Cambridge University and on the line by Neil Vargason up in Aberdeen.